Friday, it will rain Rosh Wallenstein hard.
Good morning, Parshas Nisan Vayelech, the last Shabbos of the year. The Pasuk, the first Pasuk right at the beginning of the Sedra, Atam Nitzovim Hayom Kulchem, which Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, you're all standing here, Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. And then he goes into detail, Rosheichem Shivteichem, Zikneichem, Veshoitreichem, and then again, Koilish Yisrael. But then the Pasuk continues, Tapchem, your children, the Sheichem, your wives, the Gercho, Michoite Vitzecho, Adshev Memecho, spelling out every group of people separately. And Abianko Galinsky asks, why is this all necessary? You've already said everyone. Everyone means everyone. Why do you need to spell out each person, each group of people individually? So he says, and he brings out Kedarko with stories and Mesholim, the Yisoid that he says is that it's true. We are a Klal Yisrael. We are all Klal Yisrael as one group. But we mustn't forget that each and every one of us is an individual. And every one of us has our own tafkid, our own job to do. And it doesn't do us any good to look over our shoulder and say, well, I'm not doing as well as this person, I should be doing this, or I can't do this, whatever it is, a person should think, just focus on yourself. A person has to realize that we're here to do our job, not to do somebody else's job, whether somebody's doing better than us, or sometimes maybe just as difficult, sometimes we say, well, why should I do this and this thing, that person doesn't do it, why should I be any better than them? But that's not true, because they have got different koichas, you've got different abilities, and therefore you have to do what your tafkid is, not somebody else's tafkid. He said famously, the Naftali Amsterdam, the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, said to his Rebbe, if I would have had a head like the Shagas Aryeh, and I would have the lave of the Siddur Shurash HaVoidah, and I'd have the middus of the Rebbe Yisrael, then I'd be something. So Bisrael said to me, making a mistake. He said, Naftali, with your head, with your heart, and with your midas, that's what you need to be. Reb Zisha, Rebbe Reb Zisha used to say, hey, I'm not going to get petch for not being Avraham Avinu. But I will get petch if I'm not Zisha. I've got to be who I can be. I'm not supposed to be what Yen is supposed to be. I'm supposed to be what I am. And then Reb Yankov brings a story. I'm not sure if he was actually present at the time. The somebody came to the stipler, a man, a magachir in the yeshiva, came to the stipler with a bocha. And this bocha was not doing well, according to his assessment. And the magachir agreed with him that, you know, maybe it's time for him to move on, to leave the yeshiva and to go and do something else, I don't know what. And he came to the stipler with, like, for his askoma and his bocha. So the stipler told the bocha to sit down. And he smiled to him, he said to him, asked him his name probably, and he said, how long have you been in yeshiva? Before you came to yeshiva, he said to him, were you able to read and translate a Mishnah? Of course, what do you think? He said, okay. And what about Gemara? Were you able to learn Gemara before you came? No. And what about now? Well, yeah, now I can understand Gemara, but I don't understand Tosfos. Everybody else is busy with Tosfos. The Stipler said to him, leave everybody else. Chazal say, the Pasuk says in Keheles, a person, Lacham Eba'esrim, goes to his home, his world. The called tzaddik of tzaddik has his own oilam. Every tzaddik has his own, it's irrelevant what somebody else can do. So how many dafim, he said to him, how many dafim did you learn? Without Tosfos, how many dafim did you learn? He said, many, many dafim. So the stipler turned to the Magid Shir, he said, that's called Ener Oisim and Brocha, that's called something you want, you think you should leave the yeshiva because he hasn't been matzliach, has a gewaldige atzlocha. What are you talking about? He told the bocha, carry on, keep steiging, and you'll become a Talmud Chochem. Medrash says, Reb Chanina ben Doisa, as we know, was very poor. He was extremely poor. The Gemara says that he was, Chanina beni is daile bekav charuvin. He had a small amount of caravs, that was his sustenance. The famous story with he didn't have any oil in his house to light. We know that he was very poor. And he looked out the window and he sees people taking gifts to the Beis HaMikdosh. And he felt bad. Why can't I also want to give a gift to the Beis HaMikdosh? So he did what he could. By the way, it's a very good lesson. He had nothing, but he said, I'll make an effort. And he walked out of the town. And he came out of the city, and he found a precious stone of some sort. Sure. So he polished it, he cut it, made it nice and beautiful. And now it seems that it was too big to take on his own. So he found some people walking past, five people walking past. He said, can you be porters? Will you take this for me to Yerushalayim? So they said, yeah, we don't mind. You give us a few coins, however much it was, 5 shloim, I think it says. And they said, but, we're not doing it without you. We want you to participate. Put your finger under it as well, and also join as well. Sure, finally he agreed. And he just about touched the stone, and in a flash he was in Yerushalayim. He came into the Lishkas Hagozis, and he turned around to pay them. They'd gone. So he brought this gift to the Lishkas Hagozis, and he told them what happened. They said, it must have been Malochim was sent to you. But what do we see? That he did his bit. He did what he could. He wasn't able to afford anything. He wasn't able to schlep the stone himself. It doesn't matter. Just put titin, it's bo'ach ha'imon. Give your finger. And that's what Hashem wants from us. That's the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yisrael, yes, but remember, there's Tabchem, the Sheikhem, the Gerucha, everyone's got their own tafkid, and we're not expected to be someone else, we're just expected to be our best, to do what we can do according to our Kodeshes. In a few psukim later, there's just a short, a few psukim into the parasha, Pasuk Yud Zayin. So the psukim talk about that if Chas V'Shalom, there are Yidin doing Averus, and the Chas V'Shalom, there will be destruction coming to Eretz Yisrael. The Rashi later on points out that the Pasuk says in Yud Zayin, Pen yesh bochem ish o isha o mishpocha o ishevet, there's an individual who's going away from the Derech HaTorah, he's serving Avodah Zarah. And then the Pasuk later says, two Pasukim later, it says, few Pasukim, Pasuk Chof Aleph, it says, V'ro'u es makois ha'oretz ha'hi, the whole land gets punished. The whole land gets punished and suffers because of the avarice of an individual. And so Rashi says that right at the end, just before in the Pasuk Hanistoro, Rashi says that why are we being punished for the rabbim? And why are the rabbim being punished for the yochid? Why are Klal Yisrael suffering? So this is the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevozer. We are all responsible for each other, and if that's what Dafka Hanigla Islam of Anim, not hidden things. If we don't know about it, if we are not aware of it, then we can't be responsible. But if we are aware of somebody doing something wrong, then it's our responsibility. The Pasuk says, one has an obligation to set someone right. If someone's not doing something correctly, to show him the right way, obviously in a pleasant manner, but this is the way this Torah wants us to be responsible, not just for our own Kiyoma Torah, but for others as well. We have to ensure that the Klal Yisrael keep the Torah. We find the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kol mi sheyesh biyado limchos, somebody has the ability to protest against, whether it's his family, people in his town, if they're doing something wrong and he can do something about it to rectify it, he can correct them, then he's responsible to do so. And if Chas V'Shalom he neglects that responsibility, then he's held responsible and he can get punished for it. So we see the idea that if Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevozer is something which obligates us to ensure that other people don't transgress, other people do the mitzvahs. Chofetz Chaim brings the Shemir Saloshin, it's a medrash. Se pezuro Yisroel. Klal Yisroel are a scattered sheep. The medrash says that a sheep, it seems to be unique in this way. The Mefarshim struggle to understand exactly how, but a sheep, if it gets injured in one limb, then the whole body feels it. They struggle to understand why this is different to any other animal. But that's a moshul, a Klal Yisrael as well. If one person does something wrong, it affects the whole of Klal Yisrael. And there's a famous moshul of somebody who was in a ship, and he had his cabin, and he took out his drill, and he started drilling a hole in the floor of his cabin. And people clapped what he was doing, and they said, stop, stop. He said, what's your business? It's my cabin. Well, why are you stopping? He said, no, because if you make a hole in your cabin, the whole ship is going to sink. So too, a person shouldn't say, what's the difference to anyone else what I do if I do something wrong? What's your business? No, it is. It is everyone's business, because every Chas V'Shalom, every Avera that's done, it affects Klal Yisrael. So we're very familiar with this, should we say, for lack of a better word, in the negative. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, in Mishnah Sabah, the concept he brings out, I'm not sure if I'm quoting him exactly right, but the concept he brings out, that this is also true in the positive. We know that the Gemara says, back to Chanina ben Doisa, that Kol ha'olam nizayin b'shvil Chanina b'ni. Chanina ben Doisa was a big tzaddik, and the whole world was sustained because of him. He was doing mitzvahs, and that helped the whole world. And Rebbe Aaron says, now he says on this, Medrash Tanchum, in this week's parasha, he says that, Kulchem arevim zeh bozeh, afilu tzadik echot b'neichem, even if there's one tzadik amongst you, Kulchem oimdim b'schusa, you can all exist in his chus. And not only you, even the whole world, tzaddik yisoid olam, tzaddik is the foundation of the world, that the whole world is kept by tzaddik. It just comes to mind as I'm reading this, that we know that from Sodom. Avraham Avinu daven, that the whole Sodom should be saved in the merit of a few tzaddikim. So we see that not just Chas v'Shalom, person as an Avera has a negative effect, but, and in fact the Medrash says, and we know famous concept, Midas Puronius Muetes v'Hador Nispasbo, Midotoiva Maruba. If when a person does something wrong, it negatively impacts the world, and Kal Vachomer, if we do something good, it positively impacts. And that's what the Kulchem Arevim Zeh Bozeh doesn't just mean that if we don't make sure that people don't do Averus, then we are responsible. But if we do mitzvahs and we inspire others to do mitzvahs, then that's a zchus for everyone. And he explains, Rabbi Aaron explains, that I don't know what this means, I'm just quoting his words. From Toma Devera says that all the neshamis of Klal Yisrael are interconnected. It fits in very nicely actually with this medrash, Se Pezur Yisrael, all the limbs are interconnected. We are all Klal Yisrael, we're not in separate pieces. We're all, that's how the Chol Shema Soloshan actually brings that Se Pezur Yisrael to illustrate that point, that we're not individuals. Yes, we each have our own avodah, as we said before, but we are all part of a big, we're like all part of the same body. We're all limbs of the same body. And whatever we do, negative, and kal v'chomer, positive, has an impact on everyone else. And therefore, when we do a mitzvah, we can maybe appreciate more what we're doing, that we're not just earning our own olam haba, we're actually benefiting all other yidden and the whole world. Every time we do a mitzvah, we make a chizuk. That's all positive benefits for everyone. We move now on to Parshas Vayelech. And Parshas Vayelech, the very first word of Parshas Vayelech, is Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went. Now it doesn't actually say where he went. It doesn't tell us where he went. So it would seem that this pasuk isn't actually giving us much of a lesson. Furthermore, the Medrash Tanchuma says, Ein Vayelech Elo Loshin Teichocho. The word Vayelech implies Teichocho. Teichocho means rebuke, or could mean guidance, but where do we see that he said anything? There's no guidance implied in this pasuk. So what does this mean? I saw a beautiful chat in the Pinchas Roberts' Sefer, the second one, volume 3. He says, we know from Sukkim that the Malachim, whatever it means, is obviously not physical. Malachim have so-called, so to speak, they have legs. Yeah, they don't have legs because they're not physical. But in the concept that we can understand, they have legs. Yet they are referred to as oimdim. They're referred to as those who stand, whereas people are referred to as mahalchim, walk. Now that can't possibly mean that malachim don't have any mobility, because we know that they fly from one side of the world thousands of miles in the second. So obviously it doesn't mean the ability to move around. A mahalich means to be able to grow. A malach is created on whatever level he is, and that's it. He can't steig, he can't become greater, he can't become more ruchniistic. He is what he is. Whereas we have a constant ability to steig and to become more and improve ourselves. And that's why he says, the pasuk says that in Yeshaya, that sheish knofaim le'echod. Every malach has six wings. Again, this is all metaphorical, but the concept is for us to learn. And the two wings, b'shtayim yechaser raglo, he covers his legs. Why is he covering the legs? So he brings from someone, I can't remember, that the legs are meant to enable a person to move to another, in this idea to steig, and they don't have that ability. So they're, so to speak, embarrassed of their legs, that their legs don't give them that option of growing. They just, it's just there. They just, they're standing in one place in a ruchnius level, and they can't grow. And with that, he explains why the Chazal tell us on the pasuk, "Ki malach Hashem tzvoko yisu." The story of action mipiu, "Ki malach Hashem tzvoko yisu." Im a rav doime, if a rebbe is comparable, the malach Hashem tzvoko yis, if a rebbe can be, is similar to a malach, then you should learn Torah from him. But a rebbe who's not like a malach, you shouldn't learn from him. With this, he explains a malach is embarrassed of his inability to steig. A rebbe who always feels that he needs to do more, he's not adequate, that's a rebbe we can learn from. Because you see the example, he's also trying, he's striving to become better. And that will have an effect on us. That will influence us to be better. If we take a rebbe who's satisfied, yeah, and just remember, Rabbi Noam Finkel Shlita used to quote the Chaim Shmulevitz, as a hot fang zatter mention. He just dislikes people who are satisfied. People who are satisfied, yeah, it's fine, I'm okay. I'm doing okay, I do my curiosity, my davening, yeah, fine. No, you have to always strive to become better. And that's what a person is, a mahalich, to always become better, to become greater. The oroin, we know the Pasuk says that had tabois, rings al-abba pa'amoisov. I didn't check this up. He quotes to Ibn Ezra that pa'amoisov actually means that the oroin had legs. We learn that Rashi normally, so that the oroin had a flat base. Ibn Ezra says they had legs. So, if it has legs, it's just say raglayim, right? It's say pa'amoisov. Pa'amoisov means footsteps. The remez is that legs are there to enable us to walk, not just to stand in one place. And the Torah, that's what Torah is all about. We should steig and grow and progress. And that's why it's expressed in Lashon pa'amoisov, footsteps. Don't forget, don't stay standing in one place. Don't remain static. Steig, add something, improve something. That's something we should always do. So now, coming back to the pasuk of Vayelech Moshe, the pasuk is not telling us that Moshe went physically. He was saying that Moshe was going. He was striving to steig even on his final day. He was Vayelech. He was a mahalech. He was moving. He was growing. We find Chazal tell us that he wanted to be Mekayim the mitzvahs at Lisbo Oretz. Hashem said no. But he was always looking for more opportunities to do more mitzvahs, to learn more Torah, to become greater. And that's the Techocha. The Techocha, which says, Vayein Vayelecha Loshem Techocha. Techocha doesn't mean telling us off. He's admonishing us, reminding us what we have to do. This is the last message, perhaps, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. Don't be static, don't be complacent, but always seek to strive and become better. Next thing I'd like to share with you is also from Pinchas Roberts on the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. If you look in Kapitel Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Tes, that's the Pasuk before Shishi in Vayelech, Shvi Mechuborim. Famous Pasuk, this is the last mitzvah in the Torah, Va'ato Kisvu Lochem Es Hashira Hazois. You should write this Shira, which according to the Halacha, it means it means the halacha of Ksiva Sefer Torah, v'lamdo es b'nei Yisroel, teach it to Klal Yisroel. Chazal tells us, the Gemara tells us a very fascinating halacha. There's a mitzvah for every Yid to write a Sefer Torah. If the Yid received the Sefer Torah as an inheritance from his father, says the Gemara, you still have your own chiyuv to make your own Sefer Torah. Even though you have a Sefer Torah from your father, you still have a mitzvah, you still have a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah. Which bears understanding why. Is that necessary? I have one already. Why do I need another one? So in Pshat, I don't think this is Pshat, but there's a remez, a very beautiful remez, which he brings out, the Rav Roberts brings out. We say every day in the Shira, Zekei Livan Vehu, Elokei Ovi V'Arim Imenu. Hashem is my God, I will beautify him, and he's the God of my father, and I will exalt him. There's two concepts. There's Elokei Ovi. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the God of my fathers. I keep the Torah because that's how I was brought up. That's how I was trained. That's all the Torahs all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Avraham Avinu. We keep the Torah. That's absolutely true. And that's absolutely necessary. We have to uphold the Masorah, not make changes, no dropping things. That's taka correct. And this is symbolized, we'll come back to this one, where we have another concept, though, which is equally important, and that's Zeh Keli. We have to acquire it for ourselves. We have to put our own input into it, not just do things by rote, because that's the way it's always been done, and that's just what, you know, we do this just because that's what my father did. Of course you should do it, but if you only do it dry, because that's what has always been done, it's lacking in the performance of Torah and Mitzvah. So it has to be with a fresh kite, with one's own innovation is the wrong word, but to make it relevant, and to have ideas which will make it more geschmack, and it should be real. And so, Zokte, the Sefer Torah, so this idea that has to be a Masorah, that's symbolized, but a Sefer Torah can't have any deviations. The text has to be exactly the same as it was for Moshe Rabbeinu. But yet, we don't use the same Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu used. We write our own Sefer Torah, we write new ones, and the Sefer Torah which a person received from his father symbolizes the Masorah. That's gewaldig. It's very choshev. But remember, write your own Sefer Torah as well. Bring your own chiddush, bring your own geschmack, your own life into Torah mitzvahs, because that's what's required. That Yiddishkeit shouldn't be dry and old-fashioned. It should be fresh and geschmack. And with that, it can bring out another point here. The pasuk says, "Leman ti'eli hashiro hazois." The shiro is a song. A song is an expression of joy, expression of enjoyment. That is applicable if the Torah is frish, Torah is mine, it's geschmack. And if you think about it, if you go into a university library, I don't think you'll see the students sitting there singing over their science books. Unlikely. You come to Beis HaMedrash, it's geschmack, the kol Torah, the singing, because it's alive. The Torah is alive. Torah is something which you've got an emotional connection to. It's something geschmack. And that's how we have to approach the Torah. Keep the Masorah, but at the same time, bring our own chiddush and geschmack into it. The Pasuk, Chazal Darshan, the Pasuk, in Parashas Ekev, Mireshis Hashono Vad Achris Shono. Every year, Shkol Shono Sherosho Bitchiloso, because the word Reshis is written without an Aleph, so it could be read Mireshis Hashono, it could be read like that, it's not obviously meant to be read like that, but it could be understood that way. Kol Shono Sherosho Bitchiloso, any year which is poor at the beginning, Mis Asheres V'Soifo, becomes wealthy at the end. And Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael, when we approach the beginning of the year, comes to Rosh Hashanah, it has to be, we have to approach it, Kedalim, we say in Slichas, Kedalim Ucheroshim, Dofakna Delosecho. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like paupers, and we say, Hashem, we have nothing, and we beg of you to give us what we need. And that's how I have to be like an Oni BaPesach, like don't say, yeah, you know, Hashem, I've got all this, just let me keep it. No, I've got nothing, and I ask you to give me everything that I need. The Kedushas Levi brings out the point slightly differently. He says that when we ask Hashem to give us life, to give us health, to give us panosah, to give us koichos, everything that we want, everything that we need, we should not. We don't ask it because of that. Hashem, I deserve it. You know, I'm so good. I do this. I deserve it. No, I come as a pauper. I'm asking you, Hashem, do it as a chesed, total chesed. I'm asking you for a chesed. What's the difference between the two approaches? Where the person asks because he feels he deserves it, even if he does deserve it. Or rather asking as a chesed, is if a person asks Hashem to give him a good year because of his maisin, because he's a tzaddik, Hashem will say, fine, okay, according to however great you are, however many mitzvahs you've got, that's what you'll get. There's going to be a limit on how much we can get, because it's limited to our level. Whereas, if we turn to Hashem, and Hashem, you're so kind, you give so much chesed, I'm asking you, Mitzvah Chesed, that you, Hashem's Ein Sof. Hashem has no limit. His Chesed has no limit. So then, we're not restricting what we're asking for. The Pasuk in the Haftorah says, I can't give you the Pasuk number because it's a bit difficult. The Haftorah is of Mitzvahim. I'll try and tell you better. Yeah, it's close to the end, or three Pasukim from the end. The Pasuk says, in the Haftorah of Mitzvahim, that Chaste Hashem Azkir. I will mention the kindnesses of Hashem, Tehillos Hashem, Ka'al Koel Asher Gemolonu Hashem, V'Rav Tuv L'Veis Yisroel Asher Gemolon K'rachmov U'Chorev Chasodov. So he explains the Kedushas Levi. V'Rav Tuv L'Veis Yisroel. He's understanding this as a bakosha. We're asking Hashem, give us a lot of good. Asher Gemolon K'rachmov U'Chorev Chasodov. Hashem, you give it to us from the perspective of Rachamim. You're giving it to us because you have mercy on us and you're kind. Not asking because we deserve it, not because we've earned anything, but because you're so kind. And that's why we have the right to ask for Rav Tov, for a lot. Because you, Hashem, you're limitless. You don't have any restrictions. You can give us whatever you want. And he continues with a moshul. A moshul, a melech, a king, gave a present. He gave a gift to two of his servants. He gave the identical gift, precious gift of some sort, to both of his servants. One servant admired the gift, and he appreciated how choshev the gift was, how expensive it was, how valuable, how amazing it was, which means that he appreciated the gift, what the gift was. The other one didn't look so much at the gift, but he looked, wow, the king's thinking of me, the king appreciates me, and the king loves me. He looked at the gift as an expression of the king's love. So that's a much greater gift. Even though he got the same thing, but he's looking at it from a different perspective. He's looking at the fact that the king has given him a gift. And that's how we have to look. We thank Hashem. Victor Miller used to say, before we ask Hashem for the new year, thank Hashem for the old year, all we've had in the past year, we appreciate that Hashem has given us tovus. Not just what he's given us. He has given us, of course, to appreciate that, but to recognize that Hashem has considered us beloved to him, that he wants to give us gifts. So that gives a much greater appreciation of our Kodesh Baruch Hu is, and it opens up new vistas. We can ask Hashem, you love us. Your love to us is boundless. And therefore, you're not limited to what you can give us. And then we can ask Hashem to give us belishum gvul, and to give us bracha ad bridai. I'm going to summarize quickly the points that we mentioned today. The first point that we discussed was Ryanka Galinsky, that each one of us, although we are part of a klal, nevertheless, it's important to recognize we've got our own avodah. Don't compare ourselves to others. Don't look that Yen is not as good as us. I'm better than him, or I'm not as good as him. That's irrelevant. Point is to look at, well, of course, be inspired by others, for sure. Sometimes you see somebody else doing something and it makes you realize, I can also do that. That's healthy, that's positive. But if you look, well, I'm no good because he's doing it and I can't do it, so what? If you can't, you can't. You've got to do what you can do. Don't give up just because you're not the same as someone else. And then we saw the thought, based on the Mishnah of Aaron, that we are responsible for each other, not just to prevent our various, but also to inspire others and to do our own mitzvahs, which brings good to the whole world, to Klal Yisrael, to the whole world. Then we had the first machshava from Rav Pinchas Roberts about the raglaim. Legs are there to walk, to steig, and that's vayelech. So a person has to always grow, never be complacent, never sit back and say, you know, I've done enough. No, always try and do more, do a bit more, each one according to our abilities. Then we said about the Ksiva Sefer Torah that even though we value very much the Masorah that we've received from our fathers, but at the same time, it's incumbent on us to put our own avodah, our own initiative into Shmiras HaTorah, our mitzvahs. And then finally, we spoke about the Kedushas Levi, that we have to approach the new year, Kedush Baruch Hu, we've got nothing, we're not asking on our own merits, but you Hashem, you love us, but B'li Gvul, you love us, You've got the abilities, you give chesed, and therefore we can ask Hashem to a year of brocha, v'hatzlocha, ad b'lidai for the whole of Klal Yisrael.